Welcome to the room, and we're going to, I hope, and I plan to finish this series tonight, part 8. And we'll be trying to tie together some of the things we talked about and maybe not finish talking about. One thing is about the phrase, according to the scriptures. Do you ever wonder how that phrase applies to us? Actually, it applied to those to whom it was written. It was written in that dispensation of the gospel back then. They were the former Jews and Greeks that were prophesied about in Deuteronomy 32:21. And let's just take a look at that verse. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them with a foolish nation. Well, before those salvation verses can apply to us in the dispensation of the grace of God, we need to find a verse or verses that bridge 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 from a dispensation of the gospel over to all men in the dispensation of the grace of God, instead of as it initially was, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, according to the scriptures. Actually, God supplied that bridge in two ways, starting with, I think I'll wait. I don't think I included the second way. But let's do that first. It's a little briefer, and then we'll get into what I thought I was going to do first. Look at Romans 2:16. I'm sorry, this is not in the verse list. Romans 2:16. And in the day, and then we're going to look after that at Romans 16:25. But in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Okay, he wrote that during a dispensation of the gospel, before the second sending, before the dispensation of the grace of God. Both dispensations being within the body of Christ starting when Paul was saved. But you've got this verse talking about, Paul talking about my gospel as the gospel of salvation, and that was in a dispensation of the gospel. Look at Romans 16:25. Just for confirmation. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. There it is. That's the starting point. That's salvation. Establish you according to my gospel and, what else? The preaching of Jesus Christ, particular preaching according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to prophecy. Mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest. And then that's also in a dispensation of the gospel. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. And we have most probably the last epistle that Paul wrote in the Word of God, and in here, in the dispensation of the grace of God, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So that gospel of salvation is carried over into from the dispensation of the gospel to the dispensation of the grace of God for us today. That's why we can use it, even though it's got that tag on there, according to the scriptures. Let me just check that. Hold on. We were going to go, we're going to look next at the Ephesians 1:12 verse. And just want to see this here. According to the scriptures is the right wording. Okay. Ephesians 1 verse 12. Well, let's read the two verses together. Ephesians 1:12 and 1:13. That we should be, we who? Well, we have to find that out. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also, there's somebody else, you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, going back over it, who is the we? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, that would be the ones that already existed. From the time Paul was saved and started preaching and saving people, to the time that, well, these people that he's talking to he's talking about the first group in Ephesus that you can read about in Acts 18 and 19 briefly, not too much about them. But then in verse 13, in whom you also trusted. These are the ones that he's writing to. The ones that in Ephesians 1:15 he says, after I heard of your faith. He had to hear of them. He didn't know them. It's not the ones that wept on his shoulder or whatever that saw him off at the boat, the ship. These are the people from the dispensation of the grace of God, like we are, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed. You were sealed. After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So even though Israel had Daniel's prophecy from years before, centuries before, hundreds of years, about the Messiah being cut off 483 years after the decree in Nehemiah 2:6, the vast majority of Israel remained apostate, with only the little flock remnant believing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus of Mary, Jesus of Nazareth, is the prophesied Messiah, the Christ. So it was Israel that was required to believe the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ, the name identifying who he is, which is what the gospel of God did, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, raised from the dead. So that's who Paul initially called to be saved saints. There was... Well, we'll get into that. But that was by believing the gospel of Christ they would be saved. And that would bring them immediately into the body of Christ, being baptized by one Spirit into the one body of Christ. And this is more documentation that Paul was calling the remnant according to the election of grace into the body of Christ. They were a remnant because they were from Israel, but they were going to the body of Christ by believing the gospel of Christ, which was the same saving message as the gospel of the grace of God later that was sent to all people. But this gospel of Christ was about their Messiah's newly revealed pattern of salvation. Paul calls it a pattern in 1 Timothy 1:16. All right, going on. There is a distinction between Paul and the you group. And we need to understand how much of a distinction there is, or how little. Earlier, we looked at the meaning of the phrases in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. We looked at the first part of the verse. Now let's look at the last phrase in the verse. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, both theirs and ours. Paul addressed the church of God, those who were sanctified in Christ Jesus, those who were called to be saints, those who were to call on the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just read the verse. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call on the name of the Lord, of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So if you find out, you know, just within the verse there, look at the verse. It says, to them that are sanctified. It's to the church of God, which is at Corinth, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So they're sanctified by, I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, but Romans 15:16 says the gospel of God, belief in the gospel of God, sanctifies them or sets them apart for something. They were sanctified because when Paul came and preached to that apostate synagogue, idol worshiping synagogue, these ones that are sanctified believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the grave. They believed that. They didn't yet hear the gospel of salvation, but they did believe the gospel of God. So then you come down to the next phrase here. It says, with all that in every place call on the name of the Lord, of Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, that's not everybody everywhere. That's everybody that calls on the name. And that would be gospel of God believers, whether they're gospel of Christ believers or not, whether they're saved or not. So theirs and ours, ours would be the church of God, the ones he's writing to and talking to, and theirs would be those he's talking about, all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul adds a description to the addressed group that Jesus Christ is both theirs, their Lord, and our Lord. So, with different wording, the apostrophe, the possessive there. But that makes a distinction between Paul's own relationship to the Lord and the relationship to the Lord of those who believed Paul's preaching of the gospel of God in Corinth, coming into the church of God to whom Paul addressed this epistle. Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. It's an echo of what happened in Rome, and you can read the first, 13 or 14 verses in Romans, and see the same thing, that they had a faith, but it wasn't a mutual faith with Paul's faith. He praised them for their faith, so it was a good faith. It was faith in the gospel of God. They had heard who Jesus was and believed that he was the Son of God, the risen Messiah. But it wasn't a mutual faith. They needed to they needed to hear the gospel of Christ and be saved. So that's what he got into later in the chapter in verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, still before that second sending, which widened that same gospel message to all people. rather than just as an introductory time with the Jews and the Greeks that he had promised in Habakkuk. So let's explore that distinction between the Apostle Paul and that group that he's talking to, that he, in 1 Corinthians 10:32 he leaves unnamed, but we call it the you group. It's the you is understood. He says, give none offense. Well, what's understood is that he's saying, you give none offense. The people he's talking to, you don't give any offense to the Jews, the Gentiles, or the Church of God. So you've got four groups there, in other words. The fourth unnamed group is the first one, actually. If you'd write it out, it would be the first one in the verse right before the word give. You give none offense, neither. But as you count them, there are four of them, three that are obvious, and the fourth one would be the understood you. The fourth unnamed group is the group that Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians 10:32. And it's like in Romans, some places he's talking to Gentiles. I forget the exact wording, but I'm speaking to you Gentiles in that I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Romans 11:13. And other places he says, all our fathers went through the cloud and through the sea. Well, that's only Jews, that their fathers had gone through the escaped from Egypt in the Exodus and gone through the wilderness 40 years. Well, they crossed the Jordan crossed the sea before they went through the wilderness. Get the order right. Anyway, that fourth group being addressed is understood to be you. It's not the listener today. When he says give none offense, he's not saying it to me. He's not saying it to you. There's no Church of God today. The Church of God was believing Israel, the 12 apostles and those 120 followers and the 3,000 or so that came in on the Pentecost sermon there. So he's not calling to us. He's saying it to those that group, the you group, those that Paul was addressing in that context. And the you group, the fourth group, is to give none offense, neither to the Jews, the first named group there, the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, the second group mentioned, nor to the Church of God, the third one. The you is understood to be those that are being exhorted or spoken to. They're not one of those other three churches, other three groups, I should say. They're not Gentiles, Jews, or Church of God. Well, what's left? You know, you can, by process of elimination, well, let's see what the Bible says. The distinction between Paul's relationship and the Lord and the you group, Paul's relationship between the Lord and Paul, and the difference between that and the you group's initial relationship to the Lord before believing Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for their sins. Paul said that after the you group in Corinth believed Paul's initial preaching about who Jesus is, they were sanctified in Christ Jesus. And that echoes what we read in Romans 15:16. We don't have to go there now, though. But he didn't say that they were saved, did he? He said they were sanctified or set apart, but didn't say they were saved. There is one group in the Bible that is sanctified while waiting to be saved. It's the little flock. The Israel of God, the believing Jews, like the ones that Peter preached to and wrote to. Let's look at verses that tell us that. Acts 21:20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. So this would not be apostate Israel. This would be Jews that believe still, or since Pentecost had come to believe and remain believers. That was Acts 21:20. We're going to look now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 5. Verse 2 first. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. There it is again, sanctification of the Spirit. Unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 5 in 1 Peter 1. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Unto. That's different than for us. We're told you are saved. Here he says you're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, look at Hebrews 10:29. How much sorer punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In 1 Corinthians, in his 1 Corinthian epistle, Paul was addressing, it was to newly believing Jews, now sanctified, that had believed the gospel of God about who Jesus is, but, they had heard Paul preach it, which he always did. He always ascertained whether the people had heard the gospel of God and believed it before he preached the gospel of salvation. Paul was calling them to be saved saints, not just sanctified. So we're same root word, sanctified and saint. But he wanted them to be saved. It was not possible in Israel's doctrine until Christ returned. That's when their salvation comes, is revealed. Look again at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. And then we'll get later in the chapter 2, but right now, verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul follows this by telling them how to be saved saints. In going down to verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, and we'll go through about 24. Here, let's just read it. The Bible speaks for itself. For the preaching of the cross. That's foreign to Israel's circumcision gospel, the preaching of the cross. Christ died for our sins. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And Romans 1:16 echoes that, says that it's the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. There's a good definition of one of the characteristics of when the King James Bible is talking about Greeks, who they are. They seek wisdom seekers, specifically in the Bible, seekers of the wisdom and knowledge of God, and blessers of Israel. But verse 23 here in 1 Corinthians 1, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 23 back there, about unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. That's the only verse in the Bible I know of that talks about Greeks other than God-seeking Greeks, seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God. Here it's talking about Christ crucified, and when he's preaching it as the gospel, it's that Christ died for our sins. That fact to the Jews is a stumbling block. They stumbled at the cross. You can see that in, I think it's the last verse of Romans 9. But unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. So every other reference to the Greeks, they were seekers of God, not despisers, you know, not calling God's way foolishness. So Greeks, it's not a nationality. It's not that they're from Greece. It has to do more with the culture of seeking wisdom. The Greek Empire was a data seeking, I guess that's not really accurate, data, information. They gathered information, built libraries, taught schools and things like that. And that's, the Greeks were seeking knowledge. Well, these Greeks were not godly Greeks, I guess you would say. They wouldn't be devout in the synagogues. Just that one verse, though, 1:23 in 1 Corinthians. So Paul called them to be saved saints. After Paul told these believing Jews that they are called to be saints, a few verses later he says that Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel. And then Paul proceeded to briefly preach the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to save them, in those verses we just read. It's not real detailed, but later in the epistle, in that same letter he sends to them, he does tell them, reminds them actually, what he taught them in person in Acts 18 when he was there. So Paul briefly said that it is the preaching of the cross that is the power of God to save us. Paul preached that by the foolishness of preaching, God saves them that believe. Not everybody, but those that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified, the power of God unto salvation, and the wisdom of God unto salvation. So I'm adding those. You're not seeing what I'm... the way I'm reading it... Let me just read the verse. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Okay, but he's talking in a context there of unto salvation. So, verse 18, same chapter. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it's the power of God. And then verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's a lot about salvation in those verses. It's brief, But, you know, he gets more detailed in chapter 15. So, believe the preaching of the cross, that Christ died for our sins. Believe it. That's the turning point, the entrance. So God gave them all they needed to respond to his call to be saved. I should say Paul was the one calling them, relaying God's call, and be saved by believing the gospel of their salvation, the gospel of Christ. And by believing Paul's gospel, they had followed the pattern that God created by saving Paul, forming the body of Christ. Later in the same epistle, we were saying in chapter 15, 1-4, Paul goes into more detail about the gospel of salvation. So, all right, let's move on to about a separate group, the body of Christ, separates they first they'd separated out from the assembly, what do you call it, the synagogues. They had separated out from the synagogues because they believed the gospel of God that Paul came preaching. They were separated out into Paul's meetings, but then they separated out again. They were, you know, it wasn't Paul's responsibility to teach those that were still being called into circumcision, into the circumcision group. They had to separate the two groups there, and those that were called in circumcision had to wait for Peter to come or some of his fellow workers to come and to minister unto them. Some of those possibly that had been leaders in the apostate synagogue believed the gospel of God and came out, and they would help to put things in a right sense for those the people, the rest of them that came out that were still being called into circumcision. And the reason I say some were still being called, the nation had fallen, nation of Israel had fallen in Acts 7, but apparently God was still calling people. Maybe one explanation would be that he had called them before and they hadn't responded, and he was giving a final call at the time when Paul came. Late, yeah, but that's one explanation. So anyway, the passage I'm talking about is in 1 Corinthians. We don't have to go there, I don't think, but 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 through 20. Paul wrote that in Acts 19, but apparently God was still calling people into the circumcision group, mostly, you know, I mean, they were diminishing, but the body of Christ was growing. More people would have been being called into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Paul tells the you group that he writes to in Corinth to give none offense to the church of God. Here he is writing to that part of the separated out new believers which went on further to believe the gospel of salvation by the process of elimination. That you group would have to, well, it would have been the only group remaining of the four groups. They would be the body of Christ. And that's also true when you look in, we do have those to look up, don't we? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11:16, and then down in verse 22, same chapter. In both those verses, Paul addresses the body of Christ, and he addresses them about the church of God that briefly they have been meeting with. Well, even if you didn't know that they had been meeting together, you can see there are two different groups being talked about. The one he's talking to and telling them how to act toward the other group. So, you know, keep those verses in mind when people tell you, no, there's only one church. We're spiritual Israel, or whatever they like to say. They try to patch things together so they don't have to think about the distinctions. 1 Corinthians 11:16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. You can see that's a different group. He's saying not we or they, you know, neither the churches of God. And then in verse 22, 11:22, what, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So he's talking to people, telling them not to despise this other group called the Church of God. There was something I was going to mention. Let me just look back here. This is, you know, that bears on the thing about communion. The Church of God was still having communion, still having, it was the Passover. And, you know, it's come to mean, come to be called communion because of a choice of words in the King James in chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But, you know, it was a Jewish thing, and the Gentiles, apparently there was, you know, they didn't, I guess it's not a celebration, they didn't participate in what's called the Lord's Supper, and the Jews did, those Church of God believing Jews did. So there was a, that's why there had to be a dispensation of the gospel before the dispensation of the grace of God to handle all these problems. Head coverings, you know, the very, there must be 10 different things at least. Tongues, the gifts ceased after the dispensation of the gospel stopped. Or at the stop of it, at the end of it. The U group that Paul addressed in Corinth can only be, like Paul is, a different half of that group that was separated out of the synagogue that today we know as the church, the body of Christ. Not the Jews, not the Gentiles, not the Church of God in Jerusalem, not the Church of God in Corinth. And let me just say that you can see that the Church of God is not apostate Israel, nor is it the body of Christ. The Church of God is the believing prophetic remnant of Israel, believing the gospel of God, that Jesus is the risen Christ, the Son of God, and that is the very gospel of God that apostate Israel refused to admit and believe about the identity and name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they crucified him. And that completes the series, and I'll be glad to try and connect any questions to the scriptures here. Got any questions?